Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at the invisible architecture keeping modern infrastructure from just going up in flames.
It's a pretty crucial topic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Specifically, we're decoding the IEC 61439 Design Verification and Compliance Guide. This is basically the global engineering playbook. It proves that these massive low-voltage electrical assemblies actually work and, you know, are safe for you to be around before a manufacturer ever cuts a single piece of metal.
Right, because the standard doesn't just ask builders to cross their fingers and hope for the best. It provides three really rigorous pathways for verifying a design,
which are testing, comparison, and assessment.
Exactly.
Reading through those three methods, it actually feels a lot like baking.
Baking? How so?
Well, think about it. You can prove a cake is good by just eating it, right?
Sure.
That's testing. Or you can follow an exact identical recipe that you already know works perfectly.
Which would be comparison.
Yeah, exactly. Or the third option, you use food chemistry math to calculate that the ingredients will react correctly without actually baking it at all. And that's assessment.
That's a great analogy. And that framework is highly performance-based, which stands in stark contrast to the North American standard, UL 508A.
Right, which is much more rigid, right?
Very much so. UL 508A is highly prescriptive. It dictates exactly how to construct the panel and, you know, which specific components to use, whereas IEC 61439 tells engineers, prove to us this performs safely.
So they get the freedom to innovate.
Yes, as long as they can back it up mathematically or physically.
Which brings us to how they prove it can handle the thermal load. The standard uses strict temperature rise limits managed by this metric called the rated diversity factor, or RDF.
Right.
The guide gives a specific example. If a distribution panel has 10 feeders and each is rated for 100 amps, the RDF assumes they won't all draw full power simultaneously.
Because it models the actual operational diversity of the system.
Yeah.
I mean, an office building's HVAC and lighting simply don't peak at the exact same millisecond.
I understand the logic there, but I actually have to push back on that.
Yeah,
why not just default to an RDF of 1.0? If I'm working in that building, assuming maximum load across every single circuit just seems objectively safer. Like, why take the risk?
Well, because defaulting to an RDF of 1.0 without proper analysis doesn't just make it safer, it makes it impractically massive.
Wait, really? Just from assuming full load?
Yeah. Think about sizing city water pipes. If you engineer the main line, assuming every single faucet in the city is turned on to the maximum at the exact same second.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
You'd need a pipe the size of a subway tunnel. By calculating a realistic RDF, say 0.7, engineers design a thermal management system that handles the real-world heat safely.
Without wasting immense amounts of space, copper, and cooling infrastructure.
Exactly. It's better engineering.
Okay, that makes total sense. So the macro scale heat is managed by modeling realistic usage. But what really struck me in the guide is how much of the standard comes down to literal millimeters of geometry inside the enclosure.
Yes, the micro defenses.
Right, to prevent arcs. Specifically, we're talking about clearance and creepage, which are totally different things.
Very different. Clearance is the shortest distance through the air between two live parts. So if your assembly is rated to withstand an 8 kilovolt electrical impulse, the standard demands a minimum clearance of 8 millimeters.
It's the literal jump distance for a spark.
Right. Creepage, however, is the shortest distance along an insulating surface. That prevents electricity from tracking across a dusty or humid plastic board.
And manufacturers actually test these micro defenses on the factory floor, right, with a 1-second dielectric test.
They do. They hit the unit with high voltage, specifically to push the insulation to its absolute physical limit.
Just to expose microscopic manufacturing flaws before it ever sees a live load, that is wild.
They also do a routine continuity test on the protective circuits, which requires a resistance of less than or equal to 0.1 ohms.
That is incredibly low.
It has to be. If a short circuit occurs, the current has to spike instantly, forcing the breaker to trip in milliseconds.
Rather than continuing to flow and electrocuting someone.
Exactly.
So proving all of this, the thermal modeling, the creepage geometry, the low resistance continuity, that's what earns the assembly its CE compliance mark.
And they can't just slap the mark on and forget about it. The manufacturer has to retain the technical file detailing every calculation and test for at least 10 years.
10 years, wow.
And the rigor extends to mechanical and environmental stresses too. Engineers have to predict exact mechanical forces during the very first half cycle of a short circuit, known as FPK.
Right, because that first half cycle, those first few milliseconds, is when the magnetic forces peak. It acts like a physical hammer that can literally blow the copper bus bars apart.
It's immense force. And for outdoor assemblies, they demand an IP65 rating.
Yeah.
The 6-foot guarantees the enclosure is completely dust tight, and the 5-foot means it can withstand low pressure water jets from any direction.
But, you know, the IEC 61439 standard relies heavily on fixed environmental and thermal baselines to run all those calculations.
It does.
So with climate shifts bringing unprecedented heat waves and extreme weather events, how might those changing external baselines challenge the safety margins of these outdoor assemblies in the near future?
That is a very serious question.
It really makes you wonder if our invisible architecture will be able to adapt fast enough to the reality outside the enclosure. Definitely something for you to think about next time you walk past one of those massive gray boxes outside your office. Thanks for joining our deep dive. We'll see you next time.